Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Tim Pool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347. Make sure to head over to timcast.com, click join us, and become a member to support our work directly, because this show is made possible thanks in part to viewers like you. If you like the work we do, become a member, and you'll also get access to uncensored, members-only shows from Timcast IRL, Monday through Thursday at 10 p.m. You can also join our Discord server and talk with like-minded individuals. Now, let's get into that first story. For those watching this on YouTube, what you see is the arrest of Isra Hirsi, Ilhan Omar's daughter, at Columbia University. Over the past week or so, there's been a massive occupation of Columbia by, and I'm going to get a lot of people mad by saying this, but it is very much pro-Hamas and anti-Jewish protesters. But I'll clarify before everyone gets angry. The protest at its core is opposed to Israel and what Israel is doing in Gaza. And that I can understand. People protesting military action by a country targeting a group of people that many believe has become excessive. Now, I don't have any good moral answers for you as it pertains to war. The problem is, however, what's emerged over the past several days is not about anti-Israel and its actions, though its message may be. Many of these protesters have physically attacked Jewish people for looking Jewish. And again, I'll be the first when, you know, we have someone, we had, like when Elad was on the show, for instance, Elad Eliyahu, who is Jewish, and he reports for SCNR.com, had said something to the effect of criticizing Israel was rooted in some kind of anti-Semitism. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I'll criticize and say, no. Absolutely criticize Israel. Absolutely 100%. Israel deserves to be criticized for a lot of things. Nobody's perfect, but we are dealing with war and very difficult conversations. Most importantly, I don't know why we're involved in this foreign conflict, but again, and I'm coming right off the bat, I watch a video where a Jewish guy is simply trying to walk through campus and they link arms and block him, screaming at him. And that's it. One guy had his flag taken from him and destroyed. Now, you steal an Israeli flag from somebody and burn it, not anti-Semitic. I would not say so. This was a political ideology, country versus country. But when a guy simply looks Jewish, when a woman simply looks Jewish, and the protesters start coming after them, and many of these protesters are chanting overt support for Hamas, I'm like, guys, I think it's fair to say this is in action very much anti-Jewish. Now, hold on. I would say this to the protesters. You want to criticize Israel, you should do so. But when you're on video surrounding Jewish people, you're starting to lose that narrative, because there's no reason to target and identify and target a person simply because they're Jewish as being Israeli. We saw this at Cooper Union, which is another college in New York, where Jewish students were forced into, I believe it was a cafeteria, as the far left was banging and screaming on the doors. Okay. So here's what's happening. We have a lot of big news coming out of Columbia. We also have Yale University, MIT, the shocking rise of what is at its core an anti-Israel movement. And the reason I stress the Columbia thing, and it's kind of tough too, but I'm not going to mince words. The protesters don't differentiate between Israeli and Jewish. They're all Zionists. I get called a Zionist for saying exactly what I said. This is the craziest thing. Because it's not necessarily just a left thing. There's like a weird faction on the right as well that is anti, quote unquote, Zionist. And what's crazy about it is, let me explain to all of you who may not be familiar. Look, because I'm going to stress this again. There are a lot of people who are very critical of Israel, libertarian, anti-war, and I respect that tremendously. But some people need to understand this. There is a large faction of people on the left and on the right that believe the word Zionist does not mean that you support Israel expansionism and a religious state. Zionist to these people means you recognize the existence of Israel, period. But I'll clarify that further. I get called a Zionist because if someone says, do you know what Israel is? I go, yeah, it's a country. Ah, we got you. You called it a country. The left views Zionism as anyone who believes Israel exists because it's actually Palestine. You get my point? It's weird. So when someone called me a Zionist, I was like, I'm for defunding. I oppose the U.S. funding foreign war, be it Ukraine or Israel. And they're like, oh, so you think Israel exists, huh? And I'm like, what do you mean? Israel's right there on the map. Aha! We got you, you Zionist. And I'm like, what? All right. Now that I've sufficiently pissed everybody off right at the start of this video, let me tell you about what's going on and show you some of these videos. And I want to look. So the news is Columbia University cancels all in-person classes as protests dominate campus. An after-school rabbi issued shocking warning to Jewish students. It was a couple of years ago. There was a protest at Cooper Union. Jewish students were locked in a room. They said, like, the media reported they were locked in an attic, and I'm like, calm down, guys. We get the reference. But no student should be locked in a room or guarded in a room as the other students are banging and screaming on the door. We saw this with Riley Gaines, and this is not even an Israeli thing. This was trans issues, and they did the same thing. They blocked her room, threatened her with violence. These are terrorist, psychopath extremists. Have a nice day. Here we go. Yale seeing something similar. I want to show you some of these clips. This one right here is particularly telling. And again, this is why I'm saying they can claim it's about Israel, but when a Jewish guy walks up and they all rush over screaming and start yelling at him, I don't think it's about Israel. I think there are many students there who care about Israel. I think there are many students whose core message is not opposed to Jews. But the problem is when the mob gets active and one person sees a Jewish guy and goes for him, the rest of the mob doesn't know or care. And what happens? They start screaming, we got a Zionist here. We got a Zionist, just because the guy is Jewish. Take a look at this. Here's the video. Let me get the make sure I have the audio set properly.
You're literally touching us.
So here's... The Jewish guy says, I'm just trying to walk around. They won't let him.
But you can walk through us.
We're here.
Don't get in my way.
This is insane. This is just a guy in... It's like...
But you can walk...
He's very clearly Jewish from the way he talks and the style of his clothing and all that stuff. I don't know what about, like, the style of hat or whatever immediately makes, like, people just know that there are Jews in New York City who dress this way. They see this guy and they immediately put up their arms and block him from entering campus. He didn't say anything. He says, I'm just trying to walk through. They don't care. One woman said she got stabbed in the eye. And I'm going to pause there, okay? Because I'm like, did she get stabbed in the eye? Because that's nuts. Okay, she got jabbed in the eye. Is probably a better way to put it. I could be wrong, but I couldn't find anything that said, like, you say you got stabbed in the eye and it sounds like you lost your eye. You know what I mean? Apparently some guy with a flag jabbed her in the eye with it. I guess stab is fair to say, but I don't think she lost her eye or anything. I think she got a cut of some sort. So, you know, use whatever word you want to use, I guess. Take a look at this. Sahar, this is Sahar Tartak. This looks like a sitcom, but it's not. A human blockade of hundreds at Columbia approaches a small group of Jewish students while saying, "One step forward, push them out of the camp," in perfect unison. This is a Columbia tent encampment. You need to hear this. You need to understand what the cult is.
I feel so loved.
Excuse me. Do you see what you guys are doing to us?
We are going
to slowly. You see how hostile this is? And you're asking me not to record?
Walk and take a step forward.
Yeah, I absolutely feel threatened right now.
So that we can.
So that we can.
Start to push them.
Start to push them.
Out of the camp.
Out of the camp.
One step forward.
One step forward.
Another step forward.
Another step forward.
Do you hear how they're talking? One person yells and the entire group chants in unison. It's a cult. What they'll tell you is it's the human microphone. The purpose of this is that not everyone can hear everything. So if the speaker yells and then the group repeats it, other people can hear what was said. Everyone can hear. And that may be what this is. And this is a fact. We know this. This is science. It has the effect of psychologically reinforcing the move into you by making you say it. The intention is pressed upon you. Getting someone to say things has a genuine impact on their psyche. This is a cult building technique, and that is not even in dispute. That is, it is a fact. Getting people to chant a mantra or slogan or action is one way you build a cult. I'm going to stress that again. Cults are known to do this. They get someone to say that they do things like,
"It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You matter, and we care about you. You need to say this right now. Say, "We care about you. We care about you." See? Doesn't it feel better? They get you to do this.
We ask that you please respect.
That you please respect.
Our privacy.
Our privacy.
And our community guidelines.
And our community guidelines.
Which you have so far disrespected.
Which you have so far disrespected.
And leave our camp.
And leave our camp.
This is Columbia University. The woman who is filming, I believe, goes to Columbia University. I think she has a few tweets where she's like, "I pay to be here. I'm allowed to walk, and they won't let me." Of course, let me just stress this for all you guys, okay? There certainly are a lot of people who are Jewish and are cranking this up to 11 in the other direction. These are far-left psychopaths who claim that Israel is the problem, but lump all Jewish people and Israel into the camp of Zionists. Not every single protester. I think it's fair. And again, it's because I know people who are critical of Israel who think this is crazy, and it's important to separate the two. But when you bring a big mob together, here's what happens. Let's say that 90% of the students have no problem with Jewish people. None. 90% of the protesters there are like, "Look, Israel as a nation has dropped way too many bombs. And for the hostages that are there, it is way too excessive, blah, blah." I've heard that criticism. Let's say that's their position. A Jewish guy walks into the camp, and one of the 10% that just hate Jews sees him, runs up and yells, "Can I get some help? We have a Zionist." The rest of the protesters go, "Zionist!" And they rush over. That's mob mentality. The idea being that most of them may not even realize they're part of a mob attacking a Jewish guy because they were told it's actually because he's a Zionist, because he supports Israel. Because he wants Israel to exist or something like that. One guy had a shirt that said something like "F Hamas," and they also started harassing and attacking him. And he was like, "Please leave me alone," because he said "F Hamas." Some of the people there have been protesting in support of Hamas.
One step forward.
One step forward.
They're all wearing masks, too. Look at this. This is a cult. It's a cult. Look at these people! That's wild, dude.
Have you gotten enough video? Because I look very pretty.
Not all of them are wearing masks, but the guy talking has a mask on pulled down under his mouth. People next to him are wearing masks. It's crazy. Now they're snapping.
You guys don't have to do this, you know? You're all here because we're here. Why are you giving us
We were here
power?
Before you came here.
I understand that, but you're doing what
Repeat
you're doing.
Repeat after me!
You're doing what you're
Repeat
doing.
After me!
I'm bored!
I'm bored!
We would like you to leave!
We would like you to leave!
You see how they command? Why did he say, I'm bored? Why did the whole group chant, I'm bored? I'm bored! I'm bored, yells everybody. This guy knows he can control this mob. He has decided he will. This is how the cult operates. And they hate Jewish people. So there you go. David Lederer says, for 4 days, the pro-Hamas mob at Columbia has taken over our campus. No one bothered them. Saturday night, we went out with Israeli flags for 1 hour. They stole our flag and tried to burn it. My brother was assaulted and Jewish students were splashed with water. Public safety was nowhere to be found. Columbia has lost its campus. This is why Jewish students don't feel safe, because they are not. Now, one woman saw the Jewish students with the Israeli flags, and she wrote Al-Qassam's next targets while covering her face. Al-Qassam, of course, is the militant wing of Hamas. They launch rockets into Israel. If someone's flying an Israeli flag and someone gets mad at you for it, that ain't about being Jewish. That's because Israel is a country. And I think it's totally fair to criticize any country. I don't care if they're Christian, Muslim, or otherwise, or Jewish. To be fair, there is only one Jewish country, so I can understand why sometimes people find that overlap. The problem I am stressing is that when a guy who looks Jewish simply walks in and they all run up and then start, you know, surrounding him or whatever, just because he looks Jewish, it's very, very different from waving an Israeli flag. We have this one, Naria Kraus. Crazy scene tonight at Columbia. Jewish students came to the campus and then this happened. The undergrad who filmed it told me we didn't say a word. My friend had a Jewish star necklace. All of a sudden, we're surrounded. They've been circling us and threatening us.
Attention, everyone. Can I get everyone to form a human chain right here, please? We have Zionists that have entered.
There it is. We have a Zionist at the entrance of our encampment. A Zionist. This is what they do.
My God! Repeat after me.
We have Zionists.
Who have entered the camp.
Who have entered the camp.
We are going to create a human chain.
We are going to create a human chain.
Where I am standing.
Where I am standing.
So that. They do not pass this point.
They do not pass this point.
And infringe upon our privacy.
And infringe upon our privacy.
And try to destruct our community.
And try to disrupt our community.
Please join me in this chain.
Please join me in this chain.
You see how hostile this is? And you're asking me not to record?
So this is the beginning of the other video where the guy's yelling one step forward. It's a cult. I humbly request that you share this with many people so they can understand what a cult looks like. Because this is it. This is a cult. This is insanity. They have latched onto an issue they don't know all that much about. And what I mean is the adults at Columbia who are joining these circles, joining these lines, chanting these things, have no idea what they are talking about. And that's where things get really crazy and scary. I want to stress this. Young Turk streamer backs Hamas murder of babies and says terror group have legal ground to slaughter infants if they're settlers. This was back in October. I think it's important that I bring this up. Hassan Piker said Palestinians have the legal ground to violently seize back their own homes from these settlers. Yeah. And then he said, what did he say? There are baby settlers. He said, this is going to sound very radical and possibly very violent, but this is a matter of law. And maybe if you agree with this, a matter of morality, Palestinians have the legal ground to violently seize back their own homes from these settlers. This is a reality, and that is precisely the reason why they have to exist under endless occupation in the West Bank. And so then Ethan Klein says, if they were settlers, that would be a lot more understandable. And Piker said, there are baby settlers as well. There are baby settlers as well. There are babies in these settlements. Isn't that crazy? We get the point he's making. And maybe he regrets it, but there's no escaping it. I'm sure he'll try and make the argument, I didn't mean they could kill babies. No, only because he regrets it. You cannot say you have the right to violently seize back your home from settlers in defense of what Hamas was doing and then say, and they're baby settlers and they're babies in these settlements. That is a direct implication. You know what that means. Now, while these students were engaging in their cult-like behavior, you have this from Newsweek. Columbia Jewish students warned by rabbi over their safety. Really? So this is, I want to make sure I get the name of that. Rabbi Ellie Buchler, comes a few days after the pro-Palestinian protesters clash with cops for their Gaza solidarity encampment. He's right. He's absolutely correct. If you are Jewish, you do have to be careful. And we've known this for some time. If you look Jewish, they will come after you. We saw that already. Maybe the Jewish students are lying. I doubt it. I've been to places like this. They did this stuff to me. I was at Columbia when Mike Cernovich was speaking something like 7 years ago. It was a long time ago. And I was saying nothing. And I was just filming. And then all of a sudden someone said, that's Tim Pool. Don't let him film you. And they started chanting. Well, I'm a funny guy. So what happened was, I understand this. These people have no idea what's really going on. The only thing about Gaza or Israel, they're just mindless drones. So, of course, when the one activist guy was like, that's Tim Pool, don't let him film you. And they all chant. And then everyone starts looking around like, what's going on? What's going on? So you know what I did? He then points to me and everyone starts to turn around. So I turn around, too, and I'm looking around like everybody else, blending in with the crowd. And the funniest thing happened. Some random dude then walks up to the only guy who was out of line with the group. Was an old man with a vest and a camera. And he went, you're the problem. You're the reason. And the old guy's like, what's going on? Why am I being yelled at? Because I get it. You don't let them single you out. You'll be a part of the group. When the guy pointed to me, instead of opposing the group, knowing he's called my name, he said my name, and now I stand here before all of you. No, I'm in the group and I'm looking around with everybody else. And then after the guy yelled at the old man, he's like, no, he's over here. He's over here. And then I'm looking around too. And then someone came up the other side and was like, I know who you are. And I was like, what's going on? But the entire group was clueless. Here's the best part. It worked. Only one college girl ended up noticing that I was the guy he was talking about. And so I ended up standing off to the side and she started saying things and lying, saying he's trying to film us because he's a Nazi and he wants his Nazis to attack us. And there's like administrators there and like staff. And I pulled out my press credentials, which I had many. And I was like, ma'am, I'm just a journalist. I have no idea what she's talking about. And she's like, yeah, don't worry about it. They're nuts. They're crazy people. I had a variety of press credentials. And I was like, here's where I used to work. Here's where I work now. She's like, ah, okay. And I'm like, and these are corporate press credentials. So ain't no convincing an administrator or corporate press cred is like a secret Nazi. This is what they do, though. Here's what I want to show you. I have a tweet here from Mike Cernovich. Let me start with this. Shai Davidai, I don't pronounce it right. He says, I just sent this message to the leadership at Columbia University. I am going to be on campus Monday morning and I'm requesting a police escort. Police escort for simply going to my own place of work. Oh, heavens. Why would you need such a thing? Here's the same guy in 2021 saying, I don't typically share works in progress, mine or others, but this is just incredible and points to a conversation we should all be having. Lawmakers give police officers the ammunition, which they then use to disproportionately on black men. Should we hold lawmakers accountable? This guy in the past was on the other side of the policing question. Mike Cernovich says, LMFAO, he hates cops. He doesn't want you to have police protection. He will demand it for himself.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah. So it's not like I'm going to give anybody special protections on this one. I will stress, however, if you are Jewish, your safety is at risk. For real. I understand that they're upset about Israel. Mm-hmm. Sure. And then they go after Jewish students. It's fine if you want to criticize Israel. I encourage people to criticize any country engaging in war and conflict and all that stuff because we don't want any of it. But when a Jewish guy tries walking on campus, so you surround him. When a person is wearing a Star of David, which is Jewish, not Israeli, and then you immediately scream, Zionists! Y'all, it's a cult. This is getting crazy. But you know what I can say? I can say one thing. If anything's going to cost Joe Biden the election, it's this. He's lost the youth vote. That's it. Even if Democrats end up supporting Biden and the left over all of this stuff and their ideology, many people will break away and say, I can't vote for Biden. I mean, he supports this stuff. Let's say that Biden breaks and says, no, we oppose what's happening here. Then he's going to lose the entire youth vote. But I will give you this warning to all of the pro-Israel and actual Zionists. U.S. support for Israel is done. If you don't turn that ship around, I don't know what happens to Israel in 20 or 30 years. You see, you've got the MAGA faction. They might like Israel, you know. There's like Lauren Boebert who's saying nice things about Israel. Yeah, but the MAGA faction doesn't want foreign funding. So even if you support Israel, Vivek Ramaswamy said they should defend themselves. They have a right to do so, but we're not paying for it. On the left, they want Israel destroyed. So what does that mean? It means at least half. If the entirety of the left and half of the right are all in agreement on no funding for Israel, then no funding for Israel. And that's 20 to 40 years. I'll leave it there. Next segment is coming up at 1 p.m. on this channel. This is it. Although we had the last Timcast IRL in this studio on Friday, the Tim Pool Daily Show's final day is here in this studio as we move to our new location. Long story short, it had to be done this way because Serge does the production. So once we configure everything for going live, the following morning I can do my morning show from there. But for now, we still have to have everything configured properly. So next segment at 1 p.m. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. They've done it. The Biden administration has done it. They have outright said that you are racist if you discriminate against criminals. And let's break that down for a second. The convenience store chain Sheetz, with hundreds of outlets in six states, has been hit with a discrimination lawsuit by the EEOC under Biden. They said that requiring a criminal background check is racist. I'm going to let that one sink in for a minute for you. They called Donald Trump a white nationalist. And it is the EEOC under Joe Biden that is saying, and I'm going to stress this again, if you apply for a job and that job requires a criminal background check, they're discriminating against non-white people. Okay, they're flat out saying white people have a lower crime rate. Wow. Now, I'm sure the left will come up with some convoluted explanation and conspiracy around white privilege as to why this makes sense. They'll say something like, white police officers disproportionately target people of color, and therefore, they're more likely to have high crime rates. And see, it's not about them being criminals. It's about the fact that if a white guy and a black guy commit the same crime, the black guy goes to jail. And therefore, when he applies for a job, he ain't going to get it. Well, there certainly is some truth to that. It is true. I think the issue has more to do with perhaps underlying biases, crime rates, and neighborhoods. If there's a neighborhood that is high crime and a cop sees a guy committing a crime, he's likely going to be like, okay, we're taking action. But this has been changing somewhat. Or they're more likely to investigate a crime under the assumption it's a high crime neighborhood. So let's put it this way. Let's say there is two people. One guy's in a better off, you know, higher wealth neighborhood. One guy's not. This is going to confer a few presumptions. If the neighborhood is lower income, it's got a higher likelihood of being non-white. That's stats. I'm not saying it has anything to do with being with racial. The left argues it's white privilege, it's prejudicial. Not so much the right. The right, I don't think, puts a racial component to it. But certainly there are elements of, like, far-right white nationalists who absolutely do. But so the idea is basically, if a cop sees a guy in a low-crime neighborhood committing a crime, he might not know exactly what's going on. He might investigate. He might not think anything of it. And it's not so much that it's white people. It's just not, there's not a lot of crime in the area. And so nothing ends up happening. But in an area with lots of crime, they see a guy looking around, they stop him. And then what happens is, because these areas tend to be lower income and tend to be non-white, you will get these stats. But look, I'm not going to argue. I'm not a sociologist or an anthropologist. I'm just going to say this. The Biden administration is effectively saying outright that there's a direct correlation between being a convicted criminal and being not white. Okay. Like, Ben and Jerry's did this. It was wild. Ben and Jerry's put out a tweet that said something like, despite making up only 13% of the population, black people make up like some large percentage of the prison populations. And I was like, yo, can I just say, I don't know what if reason behind it matters. The left attacking Zionists, you've got white nationalists attacking Zionists. Then you've got just general anti-Zionist right, which is different. And there's like this weird horseshoe overlap of ideologies, but still, like, I don't know, it's just weird. Here's a story from NBC News. The Sheetz convenience store chain has been hit with a lawsuit by federal officials who allege the company discriminated against minority job applicants. Well, how did they do that? Joe Biden stopped by a Sheetz for snacks this week. That's right. He wanted his black and white milkshake. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission filed the suit in Baltimore against Altoona, PA-based Sheetz and two subsidiary companies, alleging the chain's longstanding hiring practices have a disproportionate impact on minority applicants and thus run afoul of federal civil rights law. That's right. If you don't hire criminals, you're in violation of the law. She said Thursday that it does not tolerate discrimination of any kind. And this is where I get to the, I don't know if I would stick up for Sheetz. I like Sheetz. They're in our area. We have a whole bunch. We go to them all the time. But they said, diversity and inclusion are essential parts of who we are. We take these allegations seriously. We've attempted to work with the EEOC for nearly 8 years to find common ground and resolve this dispute, Nick Ruffner said in a statement. The privately held family company has more than 23,000 employees and operates convenience stores and gas stations in PA, West Virginia, Virginia, Maryland, Ohio, North Carolina. The lawsuit was filed in federal court on Wednesday, the day Biden stopped at a Sheetz market to get his milkshake. All right. They say, let's break this down. First, here's a quote. Federal law mandates that employment practices causing a disparate impact because of race or other protected classifications must be shown by the employer to be necessary to ensure the safe and efficient performance of the particular jobs at issue. Even when such necessity is proven, the practice remains unlawful if there is an alternative practice available that is comparably effective in achieving the employer's goals but causes less discriminatory effect. What would that be? Hiring extra security guards? So let's break this down, okay? EEOC has been probing Sheetz for a long time. They say it's racist. Here's the question. Why is it that statistically we see higher crime in minority neighborhoods? Why is it statistically that the federal government has made that assessment? The question then falls into two camps, the racist camp and the racist camp. It's just you're racist one way or the other. The only way you can look at it is through the lens of being racist, I guess. It's not completely. I do think there's a class issue. But let's talk about the white nationalist sort of view. I don't know if white nationalist is the right way to put it. White identitarian. That's probably a better way to put it. White identitarian views are that different minority groups have a higher rate of crime because inherent within them is a higher rate of crime. Period. Thank you. Have a nice day. I don't believe that. I don't think that's true. And what I mean by that is I grew up on the south side of Chicago, man. I'm in an area that's like mostly white and the same crime exists. Gangs, drugs, all that stuff. And we had multiracial gangs. You know, you had like a Polish immigrant hanging out with the Mexican guy and a black guy. And they were all in a gang together, stealing, beating and robbing people. You see, it was a utopia. But what I think is, while there are certainly characteristics among different bodies of people, because I assume most things are heritable. The question is race the determinant factor? And I don't think that's fair. The reason why is a guy from Haiti and a guy from, I don't know, Somalia, very different people. What do they have in common? They have dark skin. It doesn't work. It does not work. Let's try this. A Southern Frenchman and a Norwegian guy. They're both white. Very different people. Very different. And so, and you know, Italian too. So the issue I take is, if they just say a black person, it's like, well, hold on, man. You can't make the assumption that black people or Latinos are predisposed towards insert whatever category, because they differ between actually different ethnicities, and the skin color is not, it's less relevant. I don't think it's relevant. And so the question then becomes for the left, are white people conspiring to harm black people? And for the white identitarians, it's, are non-white people more violent? Either way, there's a racial component to it. And I'm sitting here kind of like, I don't know if skin color, the immediate view lens of race, is the appropriate way to view this. And I also think it excludes class. There's a big argument about whether or not poverty creates crime. It does. The question is it the predominant principal factor? And I think it's fair to also say that crime causes poverty. Correlation and causation. A lot of people fall into the camp of thinking that if you have an area that is poor, you're likely going to see higher rates of crime of some sort. And that may be. While others say if you have areas with high crime, they will become poor. I think that's true, too. So here's what I see in the United States. And I believe this is fair and fact. And I believe the left goes about it all wrong. I like to use St. Louis as a really good example of what happens. But we can just go back and keep it really, really simple. Slavery ends. The government promises the slaves 40 acres and a mule. They don't get it. There's no reparations. Many black people now think that after all this time, descendants of slavery deserve reparations.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I disagree. However, when you have a class of people that share very much widely a skin color, a race, though they're from different countries ancestrally, but they have no generational wealth. What we're talking about is hundreds of years of typically white generational wealth. This country was 90% white in the 50s. Majority white generational wealth, because even if, you know, like a white dude hands a car to his kid, they're inheriting what their parents leave behind. For those that were brought here through slavery, not so much. There's a lot less to hand down, and thus higher rates, I shouldn't even say higher rates of poverty, but a disparity between wealth received through generations based on black or white. That doesn't say a lot about Latino populations, but many of them being immigrants to this country does confer something similar. So what you end up with is, for these reasons, white areas have more wealth than Hispanic and black areas. What then ends up happening, St. Louis being a good example. In St. Louis, this country is 90% white. The United States begins to outlaw, like, hey, you can't discriminate against people based on race. So outside of St. Louis, enclaves formed. Families would move to an area, buy up land, build houses, and then create covenants saying no more houses are allowed to be built in our town. It was, in essence, keeping out any non-white person. Whether intentional or otherwise, some historians argue it was intentionally white flight. This ended up creating something like 99 cities in St. Louis County. Now what happens is you have counties that are predominantly black with low wealth. And what you'll get is, I've talked about it quite a bit. So, for those that haven't heard it, for those that have, you've heard this, they call it going on tour. I did a documentary about it. 20-year-old black dude lives in a predominantly black area. He drives to work. He's an honest guy, works an honest job, but he's relatively poor. His license plate expires. This was actually someone we met. This happened to them. License plate expired, and he has to drive, you know, like 10 miles to work. And he's thinking to himself, rent, gas, or $35 for the license plate. He's like, dude, I don't have $35. It's like, I make $9 an hour at the time. It's like $9 or $10 an hour. And at the end of the, I gotta pay for food. I gotta pay for rent. I gotta pay for insurance. And he's like, the $35, I can't do it. He drives from home to work and he goes through four different cities because they're very small cities, each with their own police department. And when he does, he gets pulled over in one. Cop says, $50 ticket, you didn't get your license plate renewed. He drives to the next one, $50 ticket, you didn't get your license plate renewed. And so here's this one dude with one infraction, he gets four tickets. So now we'll find that was $50, not $200. He can't pay that. After a while of not paying it, they say, the penalty for not paying the fine, a moving violation and not renewing your plate, it's one day in jail. That's not a big deal, right? One day in jail. As soon as he gets out, the next city's police department is waiting to pick him up. And so they call it going on tour. And they're like, this happens a lot where you'll get like, it's really much driving with like a busted headlight or, you know, something happens where you like your license plate expired, your headlights out. You end up getting these moving violations, tinted windows, something like that. Not so much tinted windows. That's a choice. You know, you can roll your windows down. But what ends up happening is you have a group of people that have been historically disenfranchised, struggling to make it through something. This is what I often talk about when I talk about systemic racism. The problem is, now let's get to the problem, because those things all exist. The problem then becomes the left saying that the solution is racial discrimination. Yeah, nah, it's not. Because then what happens is nowadays, this is why I don't agree with reparations. Nowadays, you got white people who live in these neighborhoods too. And so it may be mostly black, but white people live there. And for the white people who live there too, you can't have a system where you go to this neighborhood of poor people who are all experiencing the same thing, even the white people, and then go, not only the black people get reparations. Because now the reparations come, benefit one racial group, and there's another racial group there in the midst with nothing. The way I put it to people is like, I can certainly recognize racial discrimination. Redlining in Chicago created big problems. What they did was redlining was there's the red line train. And so the realtors were like, the real estate agents said, when we get offers from black people, we're going to tell them, oh, these areas, and we're going to funnel them all in to the red line area. They did that. And that created it created pockets of predominant, like racialized things. It was racialized already, I should say, but it created enclaves. You also had blockbusting. Bro, let me tell you about blockbusting. Blockbusting is when, because this country, like, people are racist, like, yo, legit. Not the leftist kind of everyone's racist. I think we've done away with a lot of that, but let's go back in time. People are racist. And so what happens is the real estate companies, knowing that white people were scared of black people, they would go to a neighborhood, real estate company would buy a house, rent it to a black family at a premium rate. So the black family is thinking like, wow, we're getting this great deal. The real estate agents would then go to the white people and say, do you see who just moved in? There goes the neighborhood. And the white people would then be like, we're going to sell. The real estate company would then buy the properties at a slightly reduced rate, because the white families were like, we're not going to be able to sell if black people move in. And then what would happen is the real estate companies, agents, or whoever was pulling it off, really, maybe it wasn't a real estate company, would then move the black family out after a year and say, yeah, we're going to be selling. Sorry. Thanks for being here. Then move a white family back in and mark the house up and sell again, manipulating race politics to make money. We made those things illegal. Where are we today? We still have racially segregated neighborhoods. Chicago still votes based on race, and we want to do away with this. How do you do it? Class. Class is the issue. If the argument from the left is that these practices and systemic racism resulted in disproportionate negative impacts on minorities and not white people, the solution then, of course, is class-based benefits or class-based realignment. What I mean to say is, instead of going to a racial group of people and pitting them against each other by offering one money and not the other, you simply say, if your income level is a certain level, we're going to, you know, give you a tax break or something, which I mean, like under a certain amount, maybe it is tough. I don't have all the answers, but you do things that are class based. Reparations for race? No, because then you go to the South Side of Chicago and you give all the black people some kind of reparations, school or otherwise, that will increase their disposable income. Fact. And then you've got white neighbors who are poor and in gangs too, and they're going to be like, guess who's got money? You don't want to do that. That creates racial conflict. So you do it by class. You say like tax breaks, which we do with progressive tax systems. You say things like, based on class, we'll give you scholarships or get you into schools, although I don't think schools are the real answer. But changing the circumstances based on class instead of based on race. It's funny because that's more of like a Marxist view. The left, however, argues that this country is racist. What does that mean? It means they hate black people. No. Those families who fled, this is the funny thing. I knew a woman in New York, and she was a lefty as they come. She was super woke. She owned a building in Brooklyn. Her parents, her family owned it, her parents owned it, and she managed and controlled it, and it was effectively hers. She made rent on it. And she was like, yeah, my parents got it for me. And she was Latina. And so I said, I got a question for you. Super woke, by the way, like legit. I said, if like the neighborhood you're in, like where you own the property is mostly white. If a black family moved next door to your building, would you sell? She goes, yes. And I started laughing. I was like, what? I was like, for real? I thought you were going to say no. And she was like, but my property value will go down. And I was like, oh my God, are you kidding me, dude? Wow. I don't know if that's so much the case these days, but these things really do exist. The problem is when the left says institutional racism stuff, it is a bunch of young, dumb people marching in lockstep who don't know how to solve the problems. And so you get people like Kendi who call for more racial discrimination. I'm like, yo, that makes the problem worse. I don't think the cop is racist. I think these cities are set up in a way where if a group of people here are black and a group of people here are white, there's going to be, and with historical wealth, there's going to be a disproportionate effect based on group A and group B, not race-based. Meaning, there are wealthy black people in New York who live in penthouses, okay? They're not suffering these ill effects the way my white friends on the South Side of Chicago did. Race is not about, is not going to solve this. But it is true that these red line neighborhoods still exist. Even though we got rid of those laws, it still exists. So how do we deal with that? Tough question. We need revitalization efforts, in my opinion, in those areas and programs that help uplift based on class and not race. You don't go to the red line neighborhoods and say, okay, we're here to help black people. You go to a large swath of areas, including the red line areas, and say, we're going to do park revitalization. We're going to invest in schools. Again, I'm not so much sure the schools are the right answer, especially with all the Marxist stuff, but that's the path you go, in my opinion. And then you end up lifting people up based on class and giving them opportunity and training. Training's probably a much better answer. Opportunity in jobs. Give people something to lose. It's funny because it was the villain. I always get the movie number wrong. I think it was Fast 4. I don't remember. The villain is like this Latino guy. And he's like, I'm going to give these people all these things because then I own them. And I'm like, is that a bad thing? Is that a bad thing? You got a bunch of people who have nothing. There's a lot of crime. There's a lot of gangs. There's a lot of fighting. And you go to them and say, I'm going to give each and every one of you an opportunity. You will get these nice things from me. In exchange, you better not act out. And if you do, you get cut off. Now, there's a way to do it. And there's a way not to do it. The left has this argument about paying criminals. I'm like, yo, that just makes people become criminals. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying that we want to create nice places. We want to fund police in these areas. And then we want to make it nice and we want to tell people, don't mess this up. It's not easy to do. And I don't have all the answers, but it ain't based on race. It should be based on class. One problem I do see with all of this stuff is that even in Chicago, people still choose to live by the people of their same race. I don't know if you can solve for that. I'm not going to pretend I have all the answers. And I'm definitely not going to say that race doesn't play a role. But to clarify, genetics plays a role. So my point ultimately is this. You go to Thailand. Guess what? Everybody's 5'7". You go to Sweden, guess what? Everybody's 6'2". Wow, it looks like there's a difference in genetics. Now, that's going to confer a whole lot of things. Taller people often have more success in sales. Shorter people, less likely to succeed there. This is going to create issues. But in that society where everyone's around the same height, height differences between them matter to each other. In Sweden, if you're 6 foot, you're short. Probably not really, but you get my point. Like a lot of people there are pretty tall.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver. I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The reality is, we are different based on our genetics. I don't know if skin color is ultimately the determining factor as opposed to just genetics in general, meaning there could be white dumb people and smart white people, and there could be smart black people and dumb black people, and there could be smart Mexican people and dumb Mexican people. So I think it's important to break it down. And the reason mostly for it is the left seems to be not smart enough to understand that differentiation. So they outright deny genetics and they play blank slate theory. But then you get many people in the white identitarian side who overplay genetics and think it's everything. And I'm like, dude, that ain't it. They'll look at stats, look at all the stuff, and say race. And I'll be like, OK, now hold on. You want to make an argument about a group of people who's proportionally committing more crime? We need to break down so much more than just the color of their skin. My point with that is someone who's black in the United States, they call African-American. But someone who's white could be Italian, Irish, British, French, German. The same thing is true for black and Latino people. But they don't do that when the left calculates all this stuff. And the white identitarians too. I don't have the answers for you, my friends. I really, really don't. I don't know what else to tell you other than the Biden administration is really reaching with this one. The idea that because they don't want criminals working there, they're racist. Okay. I don't have solutions for you, dude. I really, really don't. It's more nuanced, but this is a stupid play. Whatever. I'll leave it there. What should I do? Should I put this one up at 1? Next segment's coming up at 4 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. This image is terrifying for me. Terrifying in a lot of ways. On the left, you have January 6th. On the right, you have Congress waving Ukrainian flags. The terrifying thing is that the people on the left are waving American flags, there's Gadsden flags, and there's Trump flags. I'm not a big fan of the Trump flags, but what I can say for that is it's a flag of an American president. And the American flags are symbols of this country. And the Gadsden flags are a symbol of the ideas behind the revolution. Don't tread on me. The idea ultimately being, leave me alone, let me live my life. We'll all do the same thing. On the right, you have Ukrainian flags. People in our Congress who are saying that Ukraine's border is our border. That's a quote. The context being that we have to stop Russia. And if Russia were to win. So this image terrifies me for a lot of reasons. I don't agree with fighting with cops and storming the Capitol. I don't agree with how January 6th went down. I think it was bad. I think the people that fought cops should get criminal charges. I don't know. What do you get? Couple months, maybe probation. No, they're getting 20 years. The people on the left are motivated by a deep, deep sense of fear that this country is being lost. They're motivated by a deep sense of fear that evil people are siphoning money away from the people and causing problems. I do think January 6th was absolutely wrong. But that's not what's scary to me. What's scary to me is the picture on the right. Well, we can certainly say that riots are wrong. You shouldn't do these things. And, you know, these people who believed the election was stolen. And what I mean by stolen in this context is like a foreign government intervened in globalists and all that stuff. I certainly think the Democrats, many of whom are seen waving Ukrainian flags, play dirty games. But the rules are set. And I think for a lot of Trump supporters, they realized elections aren't about convincing people. Many of these people were first-time voters, and they didn't understand this. That Donald Trump won the argument was meaningless because Democrats collected more ballots. That's all that matters, universal mail-in voting. So I will stress this again. There were many people on January 6th waving American flags, had no idea what was going on. It's scary that the people who committed the crimes on January 6th, and I'm going to stress this again. I'm talking about the people who ripped the barricades down, you know, the people like Ray Epps, he's been criminally charged, the people who've pushed cops and were fighting cops and smashing things. It's crazy to me that these people who actually smashed windows and stormed into the Capitol, not the bumbling dotards and the people who are confused. I'm talking about the actual rioters. It's crazy to me that at the very least they like this country. And that's not saying a lot for smashing up the Capitol. I gotta stress this too. I've defended a lot of J6ers, but I want to make sure it's clear the deep offense I feel to some of the people who were there, the rioters, all of them actually, the ones literally attacking cops, but there were artifacts that were damaged and destroyed. That is deeply offensive to me. There was like this old writing desk or something. And there were a few things. It's not like the damage was burning down buildings and firebombing, federal buildings or anything like that. But I'm just going to say that I wish it didn't happen. And I think it's wrong and it should not happen. What's on the right with Ukrainian flags terrifies me. January 6th doesn't terrify me. A riot doesn't terrify me. People smashing into a building and fighting cops does not terrify me. It's disconcerting. But at no point were the J6ers going to do anything to this country. Standing inside of a building would not change the function of this nation. Occupying a capital would not change the function of this country. It is not the 1600s. Taking a building is meaningless. But waving the flags of a foreign nation, that's deeply disconcerting. I'm going to play this clip for you. This clip is deeply disconcerting.
Some say, well, we have to deal with our border first. The Ukrainian-Russian border is our border. Some say, well, we have to deal with...
This is Gerald Connolly, a Democrat from Virginia's 11th District, Reston, Centerville, Fairfax, and Burke. Really close to where we live. We go to Reston quite a bit. They got good food down there. I think Reston's actually where Barcelona is. And I've shouted them out before because they rock. It's a tapas restaurant. Trust me, you go there, it will change your life. It's so good. Everything there is just absolutely amazing. Charcuterie. Oh, man. Shout out. I love the chicken. Anyway, I digress. I love these places. They're nice places. They're very wealthy places. Now, the greater context here was he was saying something to the effect of, you know, Russia will advance. It'll go after NATO. It's going to drag us all into this. And of course, this is the clip. The Ukrainian-Russian border is our border. This was in response to me posting this image is terrifying. The terrifying image to me is people in our government waving the flag of a foreign nation. Not because it's saying that they've subverted this country or they hate America. They're waving the flags in support of a foreign country as part of American imperial expansionism. I don't know what we're doing there. I don't know why NATO needs to keep doing what they're doing. And perhaps that's it. If only I knew. I'll tell you what happened. Jack Posobiec, shout out. He tweeted something like this. Donald Trump gets elected, goes into the confidential briefing. The deep state says, here's the package. Here's the information. And Trump says, I get it. No. They said, what do you mean, Mr. President? No. This is what we're going to do. And he goes, no. And so everything we saw was them saying, okay, let's play. Mike Johnson walks into the meeting and they said, here's the packet. And he goes, done deal. And now we're going to be spending billions of dollars on Ukraine and Israel while our southern border is porous and criminals are flooding in. That's terrifying. That the people who are waving the flag of a foreign country don't care. They don't care. They argue against it. We are being gutted and ripped to shreds. Here you go. Breaking news just popped up. Columbia doesn't allow NYPD officers on campus. Well, back to the main story. Lawmakers waved the flags after passing $60 billion in aid for Ukraine. Here's what I'm going to offer up. Man, maybe this is the trap, but I'm going to say it anyway. How about we take that $60 billion and we evenly divide it up amongst all people and, we pay off debt. Everybody equally. $60 billion spread out to the American people is not so much money, but it matters. We'll call it a stimulus. I got to be honest. I don't care if they take the entire $60 billion, walk up to one guy randomly on the street and hand him a check. I would prefer that over the funding to Ukraine. And that guy can do whatever he wants with it. An American, of course. That could be the trap in that they purposely build these systems out so that the big ask is, well, we could give the $60 billion to Ukraine, but I suppose we'll student loan forgiveness. And then you're like, fine, we'll take it because at least Americans are getting it. And like, nah, that's the trick, right? Ukrainian flags fly in the chamber of the U.S. House of Representatives as they vote to send more of your hard-earned money to corrupt foreign regime, Rand Paul said. And just like that, they shout Ukraine, Ukraine, while happily working to secure Ukraine's borders, not ours. And that's why that image is terrifying to me. The bad guys are the American flag wavers, and the good guys are the Ukraine flag wavers. I'll put it this way. What the Democrats are doing in Congress is substantially more destructive than January 6th could have ever been.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
January 6th was bad, criminal, and it shouldn't happen again. I think the people who rioted, as I stated before, should be in jail. Or, you know, but like what, 6 months? Maybe probation for light offenders. Trespassers should get a slap on the wrist. They should get, trespassing should be criminal supervision. And, you know, the people who walked in confused, so long as there's no evidence of any violence or anything, they should get charged with criminal trespass. And they should pay, I don't know, like $100. Like, don't trespass. You didn't know, fine. So we'll just call it a fine of some sort, and then we'll call it a day. And maybe that's even excessive, to be completely honest, because a lot of people didn't know. How are you going to charge someone who didn't know they were trespassing? But at the very least, like, okay, fine, slap on the wrist. We all go home. Trespassing charge. The verdict, court supervision. What does that mean? It means don't commit crimes and nothing happens. That's really all it means. Now we have members of Congress selling us out to a foreign country that, with no justification and no reason, and it risks sending us into World War III. How could we function as a country if this is the case? The people who did bad on January 6th care more about this country than the people serving in Congress. I'm sorry. We're fucked. I look at that image and I'm just like, damn. Waving those flags, spitting on us, spitting in our faces. The American people don't want this war funded, but they're going to do it anyway. They won't justify why they're doing it. They don't care. They won't come to us and tell us any real reason. Russia will invade Europe. Shut up. It makes no sense. None. NATO's already there. If Ukraine joins NATO, then Russia's invading NATO as it is. So what does it matter if it's Ukraine or Poland? If Russia was going to do it, they'd do it. Insanity. But I don't know what else to tell you, man. That's our Congress. What I can tell you is this. If you're a moderate, right-leaning, left-leaning, whatever. Look. What we're seeing at these Columbia campuses, that thing that popped up, the left has gone insane. They don't support what we support. They hate America. They burn American flags. The people in Congress are waving the flags of foreign countries and sending your money to them. Come November, we must vote. Today, we must get fit. Tomorrow, we must register all of our friends and family members and tell them they have to go vote. Y'all need to be knocking on doors, volunteering. We all have to do the best we can. The obligation to be the best versions of ourselves for future generations. Otherwise, it all comes crashing down, and the future will be communist China. I wish you luck. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 6 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. If you exercise, if you work out, you're right wing. The media said that several years ago, and everybody made fun of them for it. We have this story. Fat activist who thinks childhood obesity is a myth reveals how she feeds her kids dessert first after divorcing fitness freak husband who lost it when their daughter ate a stick of butter. Oh, man. Okay, this country is very fat, but it is like weirdly a tied to the left. I don't get it, but it is. And I wonder if a big component of the culture war is short-term versus long-term thinking. First-order thinking and things like that. So you have the left saying, eat what you want, feel good, do what feels good. And the right thinking, like, this will be bad for us in the long run. And then it is. So I got a segment for you that's pretty funny. Lizzo last year said that she was the beauty standard. And Phil Labonte had a great response to this. He just tweeted it actually today. You're beautiful, just like Lizzo, would be understood as an insult. Twould. It certainly would. Let me read this story for you. Daughter ate a stick of butter. Wow. Virginia Soul Smith, a fat activist, has sparked controversy for saying childhood obesity is not a problem. It is. Anti-fat bias is, and that she lets her children eat whatever they want, even against the wishes of her former husband, who caught his daughter eating a stick of butter. Oh, that reminds me. I've got to enter in my macros for the day. I did not put in my morning macros. And I'm going to tell you exactly what I ate. You ready? I got one scoop of protein powder from Jocko Mulk. So good. One bottle of Fairlife milk. A half cup of white rice flour. A tablespoon of butter. And one tablespoon of mixed berry preserves. That's my breakfast. Okay, wait. I put something in wrong. What did I put in wrong? What did I accidentally? Oh, I accidentally added an extra white rice flour. There we go. Nope, I accidentally added something else too. This is not right. You see, this is important to track your macros. Make sure you're getting it right. So, you know, what do we have? Oh, okay, I accidentally put in an extra. What? How did I do that? There we go. 95 carbs, 22 fat, 51 protein for breakfast. I didn't used to eat breakfast for a long time. Now that I got a personal trainer, it changed everything. I gotta say two things. One, when we saw like Michaela Peterson talks about eating only rack of lamb and how it improved her life, a lot of people were thinking this carnivore diet was the thing. Joe Rogan talked about it. You only eat meat. I think Michaela said this. I could be wrong. It's been a long time. The issue is not that it's a better diet. The issue is you've eliminated bad things from your diet. Here's what I found. So I was doing a low-carb, high-fat diet for like 2 years, and I lost a ton of weight. The reality was I had started eating better foods, a lot less processed foods, and a lot of cream, a lot of meats, and that helped. Before this, it was kind of whatever. And it was a lot of hibachi, like rice and meat, but the sugar sauce all over it. And I thought it was mostly fine. I was getting massive carbs, massive fat, and moderate protein. Not enough. Going low carb allowed me to increase my protein, and that's what I was lacking. I got a personal trainer, and he said, increase your carb, decrease your fat, increase your protein. And now I feel better than ever. I think the issue is the keto diet was like a general improvement on my existing diet, but I think my current diet now tracking macros and micronutrients has been massively beneficial. So I think the issue with carbs is that Americans eat too many of them and don't realize just how much they're getting. It's nuts. Like one can of Coke is like 50 and people might have a handful of those per day. Yo, I have 223 carbs per day. I don't know. I would describe it as more than I've ever had, but it's not that much. That's what I got to say. Tracking this stuff changes everything. The reason I bring that up, the eating a stick of butter is insane. Now that I'm actually tracking, I'm like, wow, I was getting a lot of fat in my diet. I got to be honest. I felt good. I really did. I lost a lot of weight. I was skating really, really well, and I felt really, really good. I don't know that there was a dramatic need to change my diet, but going with a personal trainer, I'm going to go with what he says. And the personal training, I think, is what made the change. I'm assuming diet had an impact, but I'm going to stress this, like the low carb, high fat diet for me, I felt pretty good. And you guys can actually watch the videos where I shed a whole bunch of weight. I was skating a lot. I was feeling good. I feel really, really good now. I think the difference is I've added lifting. I think the lifting has dramatically changed things. I definitely needed that. Now, a tablespoon of butter. That is a lot of fat. And each stick of butter, I think, is like, what is it? 8 tablespoons? Daughter ate a stick of butter. I'd throw up. Yo, putting a nice little thing of butter with the half cup of rice, it's basically two rice pancakes. And then I put a half tablespoon on each with jam. And I've been keeping fat pretty down. It's kind of crazy. The crazy thing is I had 2 scoops of spinach dip with some chips. And that's like
30 grams of fat. Yo, it's nuts trying to keep your macros, right? Anyway, she says, we don't parent body size, Sol Smith said in the Pressure Cooker podcast. How your child is eating and how much they move their body is really the smallest piece of the puzzle. When you focus on that with the goal of controlling your child's weight, you do a lot of harm. No, 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 no. It's not okay to be overweight. It's not okay. So while Sol Smith's book is a New York Times bestseller, and many may turn to her for advice, others believe she's promoting a dangerous lifestyle. It's not okay to be overweight. Fact. It's not okay to eat excess sugar and animal fats. Fact. It's not okay to eat junk food. Fact. It's not okay to not move your body. It's not okay to advocate being overweight is all good, Carolyn Hailstone said on one of the Sol Smith's Instagram posts. What I'll pause and say for the animal fats first, not a doctor, so I really can't tell you. What I can tell you is when I cut out extra sugars, like the hibachi meals, we really were eating those like once a week. They put sugar sauce in it. So you got a big thing of rice and sugar on the meat. That's the excess sugars. I cut that out. Now it's like we order, even sushi rice has extra sugar in it. So the last week I'm like, just give me chicken satay with peanut sauce. There's a little bit of sugar in there and just plain old white rice. And I'm happy. This is what really has helped improve things for me. Excess animal fats. I think if you're eating standard carbs, fat, if you're on a regular diet where you're eating carbs, fat, and protein, but you have too much fat, it's going to make you feel sick. I absolutely think so. Right now, I've noticed this. If I'm at my standard, my macro carb level for the, which is the target, which is like a, it's like, it's still a lighter carb. I think the app actually wants me to have like another 80 or something carbs. I don't do that. And my weight is like fairly stable. Body fat percentage is going down a little bit. Muscle mass is going up because it's not so much about losing weight for me, but about lifting and getting in better shape and all across the board. But if I do high fat now with the carbs, I feel like crap. When I was doing keto, I actually felt really, really good. And it may be because you have high fat in a glucogenic diet, glucose, and then the excess fat is just there. But hey, don't take it from me. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. Eating a stick of butter. Being a healthy weight is okay. Having a good layer of body fat is healthy, but advocating unhealthy eating as you do will only drive diabetes up, hospital visits, and mortality rates up. Here's what I want to say to these fat activists. Phil Labonte says, you're beautiful just like Lizzo would be understood as an insult. Here's the story. Lizzo, I am the beauty standard. No, you're not. Lizzo declares herself the beauty standard in New Post. The Grammy Award winner has always championed self-acceptance. I saw that post from Phil. You're beautiful, just like Lizzo. It reminded me of this comedy bit from Casey Shornima, how you pronounce her name. And I got to play it for you because this one, it fits perfectly. Let's play her bit.
I hooked up with a really hot guy recently. He's the kind of hot where he dates models, you know? And then after we hooked up, he goes, I just want to be careful how we go about this because you're not like the other women I date. You're like a real person. It's like men don't know where to end a sentence. Every guy I've dated will be like, you're the most beautiful woman in the world to me. Like, who cares about your opinion, dude? I did like that line because it's such a fuckboy line, right? Like, you're so real, I'm just not ready for something real is fuckboy 101. Because every fuckboy acts like they're really deep and vulnerable, but some sort of gypsy curse has made them have meaningless sex for the rest of their lives. They all act like when they were 11, a big Scottish man with a beard came up to them and was like, you're a fuckboy, Harry. Now they have no choice, you know?
So I actually like this bit, despite the fact that I rag on female comedians for only ever talking about sex. But Casey Shornima also has this really great bit, which you will all enjoy, about homelessness and wokeness. And that was the first clip I saw from her, and it's really, really good. I'm not going to say it. You really should look up Casey Shornima homeless comedy because it's really, really funny. Basically, a guy like she calls a guy homeless and the guy's like, yo, you can't say that, it's unhoused. And she's like, I don't think marketing is their problem, dude. And then she goes on to say something else. Is really funny. I don't want to take the joke away from her. What I loved in that bit was when she was like, men don't know when to end a sentence. You are the most beautiful person in the world to me. Like, obviously not all men don't know how to end a sentence, but that's what I thought of when I saw this post from Phil. You're beautiful, just like Lizzo. How to turn a compliment into an insult. Not ending the sentence. I love it. This is where we're at. I want to point this out, too, because it's actually fascinating. The correlation between body mass index and intelligence. Surprise, surprise. I don't have this actually pulled up, but there's this other thread that I was going through about signs of intelligence, which I find really interesting. And one of the coolest things they said is, if you ever encounter a person that is seemingly doing random things, but then it always seems to work out for them, they're a lot smarter than you. The issue is, you can't understand the pattern moves they're making. They can, and the pattern moves they're making are benefiting them in the long term. Isn't that crazy? But it's obvious, right? So, man, yeah, it's wild to think that there's someone out there and they're like balancing a rock on a bottle and you're like, what the heck are they doing? And then they explain to you something about like the wind currents and all that, what their plan. And then a week later, like a storm hits, lightning strikes the bottle, the rock launches straight up into the air and then like hits a piece of the ground and gold shoots out. I'm just being silly, but you get the point. But there's a correlation between body mass index and IQ. And I think this is actually twofold, correlation and causation. I think that if you are not exercising and you are eating in excess and putting on a bunch of weight, it's going to drag down all of your systems. You're going to have a harder time running. You're going to have a harder time thinking. Thinking requires clean energy and glucose and all that stuff. And if you are not in shape, you're going to restrict yourself. Then there is people who are lower IQ not understanding the requirement to eat better, and that causes them to get bigger. So it is correlation and causation both at the same time. I guess this is the last segment that will be in this studio. So I'm going to wrap things up. And, I just want to say to everybody who has been there the whole time, as we were here at the Cast Castle, thank you so much. So TimCast IRL is currently getting set up at the new studio. And this is my final morning show from here at the Cast Castle. So with that being said, smash the like button, subscribe to the channel, become a member at timcast.com, get fit by November. Shout out to FitCast IRL in our Discord community. If you go to timcast.com, become a member, click join us. There are people who are working on getting in shape and getting fit. Because one thing I said is, I feel like I have an obligation, a responsibility to be the best version of myself I can be. If y'all are supporting me, watching my show, commenting, becoming a member, and that money affords me the ability to build the things we're building, I have an obligation to you to at least be the best version I could possibly be. In exchange for your $10 a month at timcast.com, you can watch the Uncensored show, you can join the TimCast Discord server and hang out with like-minded individuals, and then what else am I doing? Got a personal trainer, we're going to get in shape, and I'm going to encourage all of you to do the same thing. But that's about it. We'll be wrapping up. The next segment will be over at youtube.com/TimCastIRL. Thanks for hanging out. It'll be at 8 p.m. and we'll see you all then.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.